Well, welcome everyone, and welcome everyone who's watching online. My name's Sean Mabey. I'm the high school pastor here. And I don't want you to miss this, but middle schoolers just led us in worshiping the God of the universe. It was awesome, right? They did a great job. And like Louisa mentioned, this is student ministry weekend, and part of that is highlighting our middle school and high school ministries and emphasizing that they are part of this church and that they are growing, that they are serving here, and the middle schoolers leading worship is part of that. Door number two, the high schoolers doing the art is part of that. Your ushers, the greeters, Ethan being a host is part of student ministry weekend and highlighting what God is doing in the next generation. That God is taking hold of the lives of middle schoolers and high schoolers in this area, that they're being lights at their schools, that they're telling people about Jesus, and God is transforming lives. And so that's what we want to emphasize this morning. And days like today or weekends where we emphasize this has a special meaning to me, and it's not because I work with high schoolers, it's because this is the church that I grew up in. So this is the church I started going to in sixth grade. I went up through Edge and Porch, our middle school and high school ministry. It is here that I began to follow Jesus. And for those of you who have been here long enough to have served when I was in middle school and high school, thank you. Thank you for putting up with me because it's hard working with students. You don't always see fruit, but thank you for being there, being a mentor and pointing me to Jesus. If you know Todd Iannetta, he was my middle school youth pastor at the time, and he always jokes with me that I am proof that sanctification happens, that when you give your life to Jesus, it really does change you. And so thank you for the role that you've played in my life, but the role you're still playing in the lives of students here. You are what they look up to and how to follow Jesus. So thanks. And part of that is thanking you for being a part of the Restore and Refresh campaign and buying in. That's why the atrium looks different. We've also been redoing our student ministry building, The Block, which is across from Hudson Regal Cinema. It looks awesome. And even in the last months, there's been hundreds of high schoolers, hundreds of middle schoolers that have come there and heard about Jesus, have been challenged in their faith and grown. And you've a part of that. You're a part of that buying in with your gracious giving. You don't understand the impact that you have, so thank you. This morning, we're starting a new series, and it's called The Kingdom That Is Worth It. The Kingdom That Is Worth It. And it's really building off of the series that we've been going through, talking about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And we've been talking a lot through the Gospel of Matthew, and we're going to be there today as well. It comes from Matthew 13, verse 44 through 46. So if you have your Bibles, open up there, follow along with me. If not, it's going to be on the screens. But this is what it says, Matthew 13:44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. This is God's word. And what we're going to do today is we're going to answer three questions. What is the kingdom of heaven? How is the kingdom of heaven revealed? And third, what should our response be to the treasure of the kingdom? What is the kingdom of heaven? How is the kingdom of heaven revealed? And what should our response be to the treasure of the kingdom? First, what is the kingdom of heaven? And I'm going to read for you this passage again. It's short, it's only three verses, but I don't want us to miss what it says. Starting in verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Jesus here is telling two parables or two stories with one main point. And how we know that is the setup of these stories. They're really repeating one another, very similar stories. They start with the kingdom of heaven being like something valuable, like a treasure or a pearl of great price. And a man or a merchant finds that treasure, recognizes its value, and the conclusion is the same. In joy, they sell all that they have to receive that treasure. Jesus is trying to say here to his audience and to us that the kingdom of heaven is worth it. The kingdom of heaven is worth everything. It has exceedingly great value. It is worth more than we can imagine. And that's why the story ends the way it does. The man and the merchant, they sell all that they have. Because in that moment, they recognize that the kingdom of heaven is worth more than all they have. The store here, it literally means they liquidate their assets. They get rid of everything to purchase what they deem more valuable. Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven is like that. It's of great value. It is worth it. But to understand the great value of the kingdom of heaven, we need to know what the kingdom of heaven is. The kingdom of heaven is this. The kingdom of heaven is a kingdom where Jesus is king. It's a new kingdom where Jesus is king, where he is the authority over everything. And anyone who is in his kingdom is his subject. And the purpose of those who live in the kingdom is to glorify Jesus, to live for that kingdom. And if we're honest about the world we live in, there's only two kingdoms. There's a kingdom of heaven where Jesus is king, where he's the authority over everything. He's the reason why we do what we do. Or there's our kingdom. There's your kingdom where you're king, and everything you do flows out of what makes you happy, what gives you joy, or what you deem valuable or gives you worth. There's no in between. There's not, you can't mix the two kingdoms. You can't live in the kingdom of heaven and do whatever you want during the week. You can't live in the kingdom of heaven, go to church on Sunday and say, hey, thanks Jesus, I know what you've done, and then do whatever you want during the week and live like he does not exist. That's not the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is saying that the kingdom of heaven is of great worth, that it is worth it, that is worth everything, our whole lives, it is worth it. And the reason it's worth it is this. In the kingdom of heaven, things are different. In our kingdom, we are in charge. We do what we think is best. And usually that causes so many problems. It messes up our lives. But in the kingdom of heaven, there's forgiveness. In the kingdom of heaven, there's eternity. In the kingdom of heaven, there's a relationship with God. In the kingdom of heaven, there's a hope for the future. There's a hope for our brokenness, the things that we've experienced can be undone, they can be unmade. There's a freedom from the slavery of our sin. It's different. The kingdom of heaven is worth it because in the kingdom of heaven, there is life. There is life, there's fullness of joy. And that's not in our kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is worth it. It's worth giving up all that we have for the kingdom of heaven. And it seems like such a foreign concept to us. Like it's hard to give up our whole selves for something else. But this idea is something that we engage in our culture and our society all the time. Like when I was thinking through this week of an example from my life, the first thing that popped into my head was when I was thinking about proposing and getting engaged to my now wife. So if you can throw up that picture of my wife and daughter. This is my wife, Kelly, and my daughter, Rowan. And I put it up there just for the odds. But my daughter's about 5 months old, and she really does try to eat everything in front of her. So we had to stop her from that pumpkin. But I was thinking about proposing and getting engaged right before my junior year of college. And if you know anything about college students, there's one thing that's universally true about them. And it's that they're all broke, all right? So I had no money, and I wasn't working very much, and if I was, I was making minimum wage. But I knew the sum of all that I had paled in comparison to what it would be worth to spend the rest of my life with Kelly. That was my goal. Getting married was more valuable to me than all that I had. It was more valuable than the little that I owned. And so I remember saving up to that moment of scrounging together all the money that I could find, all that I had earned, and skipping meals so that I could save up, or skipping out on what my friends were doing, because not that the ring was more valuable, but what the ring represented, what it started, was more valuable. A relationship with my now wife was more valuable than all that I had, and so it was joyful to give it up. It was joyful for me to say, hey, take all my money. This is more valuable to me, because I remember it distinctly. I remember when I bought that ring finally, and when you get those text notifications about your bank account and there was nothing left. It was worth it. because it's something more valuable. And maybe that hasn't been your experience. Maybe you're not married, but we do it all the time. It's the reason why we put money in the stock market, because we say, hey, this $1,000 is valuable, but 2, 5, 10, 60 years from now, it's gonna be more valuable. And so I'm giving up something that's valuable for something that I think will be more valuable. Or it's the same reason we pursue higher education or college or take out student loans, because we say, hey, $100,000 in student loans is a lot of money. It's a ton of money. But this college education, this job, this paycheck that I'm gonna receive for doing this schoolwork, the hard work that I put in, is gonna be worth it. What I have to give up, what it costs me, is worth everything. And that's what Jesus says about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is worth it. It's worth all that we have because it's better than all that we have. It's a new kingdom. And in our kingdom, we're kings. But when we give up our crown and give our lives to Jesus and enter into the kingdom of heaven, what was once valuable in our kingdom is diminished. It's not as valuable in the kingdom of heaven. And so we can give that all up and say, Jesus, you are worth it. Take my life. It is yours because you are king. In your kingdom alone, I find purpose. In your kingdom alone, I have forgiveness. In your kingdom alone, I have life to the full. The kingdom of heaven is a new kingdom where Jesus is king, and it's worth it. And it brings us to our next question. How is the kingdom of heaven revealed? And we see in this story, there's actually a small distinction between the man and the merchant. The man in the beginning of the story is wandering through a field. He's walking through it. And in the midst of that, he stumbles across a vast treasure. He stumbles upon a treasure of huge value. But the merchant, he's actually seeking out treasure. He's seeking out fine pearls. That's his job. He's looking to make a profit. And in the middle of his seeking, he finds a pearl of great price. There's the stumbling and the seeking. They have a different experience, but one thing that is true about both of them is this, that in the middle of their stumbling and seeking, God has revealed to them the value of the kingdom. In the middle of their stumbling and seeking, God has revealed to them what others have overlooked. The man wasn't the first man that had walked through that field. He was the first one to recognize the value in it. The man who was searching for the pearl wasn't the only one that saw pearls or saw that pearl for the first time, and he was the first one to recognize its value. And so in that, God, Jesus, is the revealer of the kingdom of heaven. He reveals to us its value. And I would say if you are a follower of Jesus, if you've given your life to him, you believe in Jesus' death and resurrection, and he's your king. Your life is Jesus's. If that's you today, then you probably relate either to the man who stumbled upon the treasure, or you relate to the merchant who is seeking out truth, and in that, God revealed himself. I grew up here. I went to Hudson High School, and I had a friend in high school who didn't grow up in the church, but he'd come to church with me, he'd come to youth group with me, and he wanted to never intellectually compromise himself. He was interested in God, but he wrestled with, how do I believe in a God that I can't see, that would allow these terrible things that have happened in my life to happen to me? And if I believe that, I'm intellectually compromising myself. If I say that God exists, and he would let these things happen to me, why would that be a God I'd even want to worship? And so in that, my friend turned his back on God. He disdained him, and he lived like he didn't exist. And in the midst of my friend's binge drinking, his merry-go-round of relationships, he came to a point where he said, there has to be more than this. This can't be all that my life is about. I'm missing something. What is my purpose? And he began to seek out God. He began to say, God, if you were real, reveal yourself to me. And he began to read God's word, the Bible, and say, Jesus, did you do this? Is this love that you have, that you've shown for us, is this for me? And in those moments, God revealed himself to my friend who was seeking. And in that, my friend put his trust in Jesus' death and resurrection. He made him king, and it changed his life. My friend entered into the kingdom of heaven. He was seeking, and God revealed himself. And maybe that's your experience. Maybe that's how you came to the kingdom of heaven. Maybe that's how you met Jesus. Or maybe that's you today where you've come to this church seeking God, saying, I want to know what truth is. And God is speaking to you today saying, I am here, I am real, and what I have for you is far better for the kingdom you are running right now. I love you, my mercy is for you, I long to know you, you are mine. And he's seeking you out right now. Maybe that's your experience. But if it's not, I bet your experience is more like the man in the field who maybe you weren't seeking out God at all and he revealed to you, you stumbled upon the treasure of the kingdom of heaven. And this is more like my wife's experience, how she got into a relationship with God. She went to Hudson with me as well. We're in the same grade. And in her sophomore year of high school, she wasn't seeking God, didn't have any interest in him. But she started coming to church here. She started coming to youth group here because she thought I was cute. All right, that's why she came. She had some motives. But my wife always jokes with me, and she says, I came to church for you, and I found something way better. And that was a relationship with God. She came seeking for me, my attention, whatever, and she found Jesus. Jesus revealed to her in her stumbling him. And for the first time in her life, she found love, mercy, and grace, a hope for the future. The brokenness that she'd experienced could be healed. And when Jesus returns, she has a hope that it'll be taken away and undone. The kingdom is better. And so in that, she put her faith and trust in Jesus and entered into the kingdom of heaven. How the kingdom of heaven is revealed is through Jesus. He is the great revealer. And no matter whether you stumbled upon the truth or you were seeking, Jesus is the one who revealed to you the value, the truth of the kingdom of heaven. That's what he's done. That is his job. Jesus, his ministry was to reveal the kingdom of heaven. And that's why he came. And if you study his ministry in the book of Matthew, you'll see he says, repent, which literally means to turn from. He says, repent from your sin, turn from your sin, and turn towards God. Because the kingdom of heaven is here. And so Jesus came, and God himself took on flesh, took on fullness of humanity with his deity to live a perfect life for us, to die on the cross for our sins, to rise again 3 days later so that we could be forgiven, so that we could have peace, that we could know God. And he resurrected as king in a new kingdom. The only way we enter into this kingdom of heaven is through Jesus. The only way that we enter into this kingdom of heaven is to take off our crown and say, Jesus, I need you. You are the way to forgiveness. You are my hope. In the kingdom of heaven is the only place I can find joy and my purpose. You are my king. That is how we enter into the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is worth it. The last question is this. What should our response be to the treasure of the kingdom? We know what the kingdom of heaven is. It's a new kingdom where Jesus is king, and it's worth everything. And we only enter into that kingdom of heaven through Jesus, through faith in him and what he's done. But our response comes simply from this passage, what we see the man and the merchant do. I'm going to read for us the end of verse 44 and then skip ahead to 46, but it says this. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Verse 46, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Our response to the treasure of the kingdom of heaven, our response to Jesus and what he's done for us is giving ourselves completely to him. Our response is giving up everything we own and giving it to Jesus. Our response is laying down our crown of the kingdom that we are in now and saying, Jesus, you are king, I'm not. And I want to be careful here. This is a story. And so what Jesus is not telling you to do, he's not saying, hey, you have to sell everything you have to enter into the kingdom of heaven. He's not saying that. Jesus isn't saying, hey, to earn my love, you have to sell everything. Some of you are like, man, that's great news. But what he is saying, to belong to the kingdom of heaven, is if Jesus calls you to sell everything you have, if Jesus tells you to switch jobs, if Jesus tells you to move across the world, if Jesus tells you to be a missionary, if Jesus tells you to do anything, that you do it because you're in a new kingdom. Our response should be to give up our whole selves to him. And it's not to earn anything. It's not to purchase the kingdom of heaven. No, we give up ourselves completely to God out of response to being in the kingdom. So we enter the kingdom by putting our faith, our trust in Jesus Christ, making him king. And as we make him king, we give up our lives to him. We say, Jesus, my crown is on the ground. You are king. My life is about you. You are my authority. Everything I do is to glorify you. It's not about my joy. It's not about my happiness. It's not what I deem valuable. It's what you deem most valuable. And so when we switch kingdoms, what was once valuable to us becomes less valuable. And so your job, your promotion, your 401k, your dream vacation, your perfect marriage, your kids making varsity, or getting into the perfect college, those things, while important, become less important. And we can say, God, I want this, but you are king and you are in control of this, and I trust you with it. Because you're the one that's really in control anyway. I can pretend to wear a crown, but it's not a real kingdom. And so what it means to be in the kingdom of God is to say, Jesus, if we have a choice between financial success and reward beyond measure or obeying Jesus, we choose Jesus. And if we have a choice between having people think we're great and recognize us and having fame or obedience to Jesus, we choose Jesus because it's more valuable. The kingdom we live in changes everything. And it's hard to understand because we don't live in a kingdom. We don't. Like there's not a good example of what that looks like. And in the United States, we have a presidency, and a president switches every 4 to 8 years. But in that switch, our country changes. It changes depending on how our president's like, what's important to him, what our government decides to do, and it shifts what's important to the people of our country and how we act and live. That's what it's like to switch kingdoms. If you go from your kingdom to the kingdom of heaven, it changes everything. Because Jesus is now your king. Jesus is your authority. You can't be in the kingdom of heaven, say, Jesus, hey, you're awesome, you're my friend, love you, appreciate what you've done for me, and then not live differently and not live like he's king. It doesn't work. I showed a picture earlier of my daughter who's almost 5 months old, and she's awesome, an amazing baby, but having children changes everything. It does. And if you have children, you know that. It changes everything about your life. And the biggest area of my life where I wrestle with giving over to God and putting in his kingdom is comfort. Like that is the biggest idolatry that I wrestle with. And what my family likes to joke around about is that we would say that we come from a long line of sitters. My family is really good at relaxing. We can beat you in any challenge. We're awesome at it. Like we were made to rest. And there's some good things about that, but there's a lot of not good things about it. And so if I have a hard day, if I need to like blow off steam and want to rest, what I used to do was watch Netflix, watch the Browns game, even though it's more like punishment, or watch the Cavs, whatever. I do those things to rest and relax and maybe just not have to think for a little bit. But having a daughter changes those things. And it's a good thing. It helps me wrestle with my flesh and becoming more like Jesus. But if my daughter cries, if my daughter needs me, she wakes up from a nap and I'm trying to rest, my rest goes on the back burner because she's changed my life, because she's a responsibility of mine. I've entered a new stage of life. And so if my daughter changes my life tenfold, if she changes everything about me, how much more does a relationship with the God of the universe change our lives? How much more does entering into his kingdom where he's king change our lives? It should change everything. And yes, to enter into his kingdom, we give up everything. We give up our whole lives to him, but we do it following his example. Jesus doesn't ask us to give up everything without doing it first. Jesus died for us. Jesus was beaten, he was mocked, he was betrayed, crucified for us. He's the example of what it looks like to give up all else for something more valuable. Because the kingdom of heaven is worth it. Our only response to the kingdom of heaven, our only response to Jesus and what he's done for us and the mercy and grace that he has for us, is to give everything to him, because the kingdom of heaven is worth it. Because only in the kingdom of heaven we can fulfill our purpose, we can feel joy, we can be forgiven, have a relationship with God. It changes everything. The kingdom of heaven is worth it. What is the kingdom of heaven? It's a new kingdom where Jesus is king, where he's Lord over everything, where he's authority. In the kingdom of heaven, those in the kingdom of heaven obey God because he's king, and we live a life to glorify him, because that's what our life's about in the kingdom. In the kingdom of heaven, Jesus is our authority, and God's word, the Bible, we are obedient to it, to what it calls us to do, because it's the word of God. And we don't change it to do what we want to do, but we're obedient to what God's called us to do. The kingdom of heaven is revealed only through Jesus. He reveals to us the value of it, and we enter into the kingdom of heaven through Jesus. So whether you're stumbling or seeking, Jesus is revealing it to you now, saying, I am Lord, I am King, I love you, my mercy and grace is for you. It doesn't matter what you've done or the brokenness you've experienced, I can heal it. In my kingdom, you fulfill your purpose and you can find fullness of joy, and it's only in my kingdom, and it's only through putting our faith and trust in Jesus and making him king. What should our response be to the kingdom of heaven and the treasure of the kingdom? It's to give everything to him. To lay down our crown at the feet of Jesus and say, I can't be king anymore. I can't do it. I want to give my crown to you. You are king. And putting our faith and trust in Jesus' death and resurrection for the forgiveness of sins, to live out our purpose and to trust him with everything. The kingdom is worth it. It's far better. Do you know him? Do you know Jesus? Is he your king, or is he just an afterthought in your kingdom? Let's close in prayer now. Father God, we come before you and we praise you that you are king. We praise you that you let us have a way out of our kingdom, because we know that as kings, we choose to make things that are valuable or most important that shouldn't be most important. And we end up getting ourselves in trouble and we mess up our lives. But through you, Jesus, and what you've done and your kingdom, it can be undone and we can be healed and live out the purpose that you created us for. And so we praise you for that, Jesus, and we pray that anything in our lives today that we are holding back, that we aren't giving you kingship over, that you reveal to us and that we'd live differently, that we would live changed. And if there's any of us today that you are revealing yourself to, even whether we're seeking or stumbling this morning, that you would help us to see the truth, that we'd understand your love and your mercy and your grace, and that the kingdom of heaven is worth it, that it's worth giving up all else for, because it's far more valuable than all else we have. We pray this in your son Jesus' name. Amen.